Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
I call back my hair. I
And welcome to the Hogan Era Podcast. I am your host, JP John Paz, the one-man power trip behind the two-man power trip of wrestling, of course, on the TMPT feed right here on the two-man power trip of wrestling's podcasting empire each and every week here on the Hogan Era Podcast, talking about some of the greatest matches, moments, and feuds of all time, predicated from 1984 to 1993 in the World Wrestling Federation. A lot of people call it the Golden Era, but it is, of course, the Hogan Era, the era that made Vince McMahon a retired billionaire, an era that launched so many fandoms and so many careers and so many superstars. It is still leaving a lasting impact on pro wrestling today. Not only are we talking about the immortal Hulk Hogan, we are also talking about guys like Rowdy Piper, the Macho Man Randy Savage, ooh yeah, the incomparable Big John Studd, King Kong Bundy, Big Boss Man, and the list goes on and on and on. There's so many legendary stars from that era. Also on the show, we're also talking about some of the greatest tag teams of the era, as well as some of the greatest Intercontinental champions, some of the greatest mid-carders, some of the greatest enhancement talent, and even talking about some bad gimmicks and some bad talent of the era as well. It is one of those things on this show where we will cover the gamut. We'll talk about each and every member of this Hogan era, this beloved Hogan era, and we will cover it from top to bottom. Today is absolutely no different, as we're covering a great tag team of that era, the tag team known as the Young Stallions, Paul Aruma and Jim Powers. Basically, two youngsters that look like $1 million. Just look at them, like, man, they got superstar written all over them. They both look like $1 million. They're both great athletes. But when they first started out in the WWF, obviously they were kind of both enhancement talent. And we've talked about them a little bit here and there, depending on who they wrestled and different opponents. But when they were basically put together as a team, they're both kind of in that enhancement talent role. They're both kind of young rookies and, you know, kind of growing into themselves and growing into the craft and becoming who they're going to become. And you could definitely see some potential with both guys, that's for sure. So the booking team of WWF in March 87 was basically saying, hey, let's just put these two together and maybe see what we have here. Not necessarily going to be a tag team, for an extended period of time, or they had big thoughts of tag team, but let's just put them together and see what we have. And as a fan, you're just thinking, it's just an enhancement match, just the enhancement talent. They're not going to really, form a team per se. They're just kind of teaming together and, not thinking that they're going to have legs to it, if you will. So their first real match, back-to-back and belly-to-belly, a part of Wrestling Challenge 29, Columbus, Ohio. They wrestled the Hart Foundation, of course, lost to the Hart Foundation, and Wrestling Challenge 29 from the Ohio Center in Columbus, Ohio. The match only was 2 minutes and 30 seconds, with the Hart Foundation getting the victory. That was kind of the first time that they really were put together as a team. Of course, a few weeks later, they would lose to Demolition on Superstars number 33 from the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. That match only went 2 minutes and 30 seconds as well. Wrestling Challenge 33, losing to the Dream Team of Bravo and Valentine, the new Dream Team, if you will. That match only went about 2 minutes, 45 seconds. Then a six-man tag with Powers, Roma, and Joe Mirto. They lose to Butch Reed and Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik, 2 minutes, 30 seconds. They're part of Superstars number 35. And then Wrestling Challenge 36. This is where you kind of were saying to yourself, maybe there's something here. Maybe they have something. Maybe they're going to perhaps give these two youngsters a bit of a push. The team with Tito, huge upset, defeating Cowboy Bob Orton, Magnificent Don Morocco, and Tiger Chung Lee in about 3 minutes. So big upset, big win there. Then on a house show from the Maple Leafs Gardens in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, on 4/26, they lose to Demolition Axe and Smash before getting a bunch of victories on a bunch of house shows in Ontario, Canada, the London chapter, the Peterborough area as well. Then Oshawa, and they would get some victories, and Springfield, Massachusetts. And then on TV on the Prism Network, part of the Philadelphia Spectrum and Philadelphia PA tapings, on 5/9/1987, they beat the Shadows, Shadow 1 and Shadow 2. Of course, was Jose Luis Rivera and Moondog Rex under the mask. Very interesting gimmick, the Shadows, which I'm sure we'll talk about at a later date and time, but is very Assassins-esque, very old school as far as that gimmick. Now, the other shows as well that I didn't mention besides Spectrum, and I mentioned all in Canada, and then the one in Springfield, they beat the Shadows on all those shows as well. So Powers and Roma get the victory, not necessarily the Young Stallions yet, but hold your horses, that's coming soon. They lose to Demolition one more time on Superstars taping number 39. And then they lose to the Dream Team, the new Dream Team, yet again on Wrestling Challenge number 40, this time as the Young Stallions. So they're really kind of making their name and their gimmick as the Young Stallions, as they're not going to be enhancement talent any longer. They are now going to be known as the Young Stallions, and they are now going to be a tag team, a real tag team, a really formed tag team, and not necessarily going to be main eventers or anything like that, but they're actually going to be used in a manner where they're putting together a tag team in a completely stacked tag team division. We'll talk about, obviously, all those awesome tag teams. We've talked about them plenty on this show before. Just what a stacked tag team division. Arguably the greatest tag team division of all time, for sure. I know WCW and the NWA might have something to say about that at different periods of time, but I do feel like that might have been the most stacked tag team division ever, for sure. Now, going to mention that they get some more victories over the Shadows in a bunch of house shows. They have a big victory on 5/18/1987 on a house show, on a MSG show from Madison Square Garden, New York, New York, which, of course, on the MSG network. The Young Stallions defeated Bob Orton and Magnificent Morocco in 10 minutes and 30 seconds. A part of Superstars, number 41 in Buffalo at the Buffalo War Memorial Auditorium, 6/2/87, the Heenan family, Hercules, King, Harley Race, and King Kong Bundy, and Paul Orndorff defeated Don Driggers, Jim Powers, Mario Mancini, and Paul Roma in 3 minutes and 40 seconds there. So big match, but a loss to the Heenan family nonetheless. Then they start in a bit of a feud and a bunch of matches with the Islanders. Haku and Tama start teaming together big time, and they have not a big time feud, but they do have a ton of matches together, with the Islanders getting most victories, and of course the big ones, 6/14 and 6/20, of course, on the MSG network. In a 20-minute match, the Islanders defeated the Young Stallions, and then on the Prism network, it was the Young Stallions defeating the Shadows in about 15 minutes. So long TV matches on MSG and on Prism for the Young Stallions, of course, losing to the Islanders, but beating the Shadows. So you're kind of seeing where they see the Young Stallions in this stacked tag team division. Like, it is completely stacked. They got so many good tag teams, it's ridiculous, but they're losing to Demolition, losing to the Islanders, losing to the Hart Foundation, losing to the new Dream Team, but they will beat some enhancement guys, and they will beat guys like, you know, Barry Horowitz and Brooklyn Brawler, and they'll beat the Shadows. So far, not so good, you know, as far as getting a ton of victories, but they are getting a ton of TV time, and they're wrestling some of the best tag teams in the company. On Superstars number 48, the Young Stallions get a big victory over the Hart Foundation, Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. They win in 3 minutes, but they win via DQ, but still a big victory over the tag champs at that point. So pretty damn good victory there. The Young Stallions would defeat Kamala and Sika by a count on Superstars number 50. They get another victory, maybe, you know, the biggest victory of the career, 8/4/87 on Primetime Wrestling from Madison, Wisconsin, defeating the Hart Foundation again, this time, of course, via DQ as well. They lose to Hercules and Harley Race on Wrestling Challenge 52. On Superstars 52, the Hart Foundation, Bret Hart, Jimmy Neville Neidhart, and Danny Davis defeated the Young Stallions and Brady Boone in 3 minutes from Fresno, California. They would then lose to Demolition a bunch, and losing again, of course, to the new Dream Team as well. So then they get a bunch of WWF Tag Team Championship matches on house shows, and they're losing all those, but they are getting decent time with the Hart Foundation. For instance, there was one in Oakland in September. They lose to the Hart Foundation, but a 13-minute match. Of course, a big one that's very memorable that I'm sure a ton of people saw on television, given how high the rating was, but on 9/23/87, Saturday night's main event, number 12, from Hershey, PA at the Hershey Park Arena, the Hart Foundation defeated the Young Stallions in about 5 minutes there. Shorter match, but good TV time. And of course, the Hart Foundation retained their WWF Tag Team Championships right there. They start in a bitter feud with the Bolsheviks, wrestling them all over this great land, including on the Prism Network, the Bolsheviks defeating them in 13 minutes on 11/7/87. Then that same day, taping in Boston at the Boston Gardens, a part of the NESN TV network, the Bolsheviks defeated the Young Stallions there in about 11 minutes and 30 seconds. In an interesting matchup here, Superstar 64, Coco Beware and the Young Stallions defeated Barry Horowitz, Terry Gibbs, and Dusty Wolf in 2 minutes 30 seconds. Possibly one of the greatest enhancement teams I've ever seen there with Wolf, Gibbs, and Barry Horowitz. Then, of course, the Young Stallions would face the Conquistadors and get victories over them on a bunch of house shows before the legendary Survivor Series 1987, the debut Survivor Series show, Richfield Coliseum in Richfield, Ohio, 11/27/87, the Survivor Series 10-team elimination match, Strike Force, the Bulldogs, the Killer Bees, the Rougeau Brothers, and the Young Stallions defeated Demolition, the Bolsheviks, the Dream Team, the Hart Foundation, and the Islanders. Man, look at those 10 tag teams. Whoa, what a stacked tag team division the WWF had in 1987. Ooh. And as we head into 1988, the Stallions are still hanging and banging, beating Conquistadors on house shows, but they are losing to the Islanders. Wrestling Challenge 72, the Young Stallions defeated Conquistadors 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Part of the Royal Rumble 1988 from the Cops Coliseum in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, 1/24/88. Best 2 out of 3 falls. The Islanders, Haku and Tama, defeated the Young Stallions, Jim Powers and Paul Roma, in 15 minutes, 2 falls to 0. Then the next night at MSG on the MSG Network, the Young Stallions defeated Barry Horowitz and Steve Lombardi, the Brooklyn Brawler, in about 13 minutes and 30 seconds. So long TV match there for them. They would actually defeat the Alaskans on a bunch of house shows. The Alaskans were Rick Renslow and Dave Wagner, then defeating again Horowitz and the Brooklyn Brawler before losing to Demolition. As you move on, and you know, they're slowly kind of not really being utilized as much maybe on TV as they could have or should have. They were part of a dark match on Saturday night's main event number 15 from Nashville, Tennessee. And they defeated the Bolsheviks on that show. They're defeating the Conquistadors on house shows, but losing to the Demolition. They actually get an upset win over the Demolition team in... very interesting. I don't even know where this is. It's in Europe somewhere, another country, Lugano, wherever the heck that might be. But they, and I'm guessing it's somewhere by Italy, because that same tour, the day later after they got an upset victory over Demolition, Demolition would defeat them in Milan, Italy, in about 8 minutes. And that was them defending their tag team titles. So Young Stallions do get a victory over them, but of course they lose when the tag titles are on the line. A part of Superstars number 91, Demolition defeated the Young Stallions in about 5 minutes. Then the Fabulous Rougeau Brothers start a little bit of a mini feud with the Young Stallions on the Prism Network, a part of the Philly Spectrum TV tapings. The Young Stallions lose to the Rougeos in 13 minutes, 30 seconds. Then a part of the MSG taping, the Rougeos beat the Stallions in 14 minutes and 30 seconds. So a lot of TV time, big time. Then on the Prism Network, and we're well into 88 here, we're in June of 88, the Bolsheviks defeated Young Stallions in 18 minutes and 30 seconds, a part of that show. So they're getting some long, long tag team matches as well. They would lose a bunch of house show matches to the Killer Bees before getting some TV wins over the Conquistadors. Then the Brainbusters. It's their turn as they get a shot at a ton of matches with the Young Stallions. The Brainbusters would defeat them in the Maple Leafs Gardens in 12 minutes and 30 seconds. And then a part of the Prism Network in November of 88, the Brainbusters defeated the Young Stallions there on that TV program as well. Part of Saturday night's main event number 18, 11-16-88 from the Arco Arena in Sacramento, California. The Fabulous Rougeau Brothers defeated the Young Stallions in about 3 minutes. The Brainbusters on the Z Channel, which of course is the LA Sports Memorial Arena in Los Angeles, California. That's the nice little TV network over there. The Brainbusters defeated the Young Stallions there in 14 minutes before eventually beating them on a bunch of house shows. Now, here's an even better match and one of my favorite matches. Survivor Series 1988, Richfield Coliseum, Richfield, Ohio, 11-24-88, Survivor Series 10-team tag team elimination match. The Bulldogs, the Hart Foundation, the Powers of Pain, the Rockers, the Young Stallions, and would defeat Demolition, the Bolsheviks, the Brainbusters, the Conquistadors, and the Fabulous Rougeau Brothers in 40 minutes. Man, what an epic. I love Survivor Series 88, and what an epic match. That was, of course, won by the Powers of Pain, who do the double turn and turn heel and turn Demolition babyface on that show. But technically, the Young Stallions team does get the victory there. Awesome match. Go back and watch if you haven't. Just a great show there. Then, of course, in 1989, as they're still teaming together, they're losing a couple of house show matches to the Twin Towers, which is Akeem and the Big Boss Man, on the NESN Network and the MSG Network, both same day, 3/18/89. The Young Stallions defeated the Conquistadors first match, 15 minutes. Second match was in 13 minutes. And then the last time they teamed together was against the Conquistadors, 3/19/89, at the Hartford Civic Center in Hartford, Connecticut. The Young Stallions defeated the Conquistadors. So it wasn't like they were getting jobbed out too bad kind of when they were done and on the way out. It just was one of those things where they really couldn't get along behind the curtain. They hated each other. And Roma tells a story where he said they were supposed to meet at the airport, and Powers kind of tricked him, and Powers went to the arena, and they kind of said Pat Patterson was involved maybe with Powers, and then Powers says he was involved with Roma, and you don't know what to believe, and who the heck knows, with all the accusations and all things going around. But it just seemed like the end of the team here in 1989. Yes, they're kind of lower on the card just because of those amazing other 10 tag teams on the roster that I mentioned, and they kind of had to maybe pay their dues, but they couldn't really get along. And they agreed to basically, without any official announcement or angle or anything, to end a partnership. They just went their separate ways, and they both would continue on in singles competition. And, of course, Roma would eventually team up with Hercules and become Power and Glory as well, and then eventually quit the World Wrestling Federation. And Jim Powers would stay around for a few years after that. But interesting run there from the Young Stallions. Such a memorable team, such a good team. They had a lot of promise. They had a lot of potential. But then they were in the shallow division of a very, very stacked tag team division. So let's head towards the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, patreon.com/TMPTEmpire. Go to TeePublic.com/stores/TMPT and get your Hogan era merchandise today. Check out the TMPT feed and the archives for all great episodes of the Two Man Power Trip Wrestling, including all my interviews with some of the great talent out there. Thank you, everybody, for listening. See you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother. please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Wow.
Right now, folks, as we promised you last week, courtesy of Superstars, a special non-title tag team matchup between the Hearts, the reigning champions, and Jim Powers and Paul Roma, and also a special appearance of Mr. T, and you're going to get a look at Danny Davis in this as well.
Mr. T?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we go any further, I have a very special announcement to make concerning a very special guest. Undoubtedly, as now, he is one of, if not the most effective, referee in the World Wrestling Federation.
Davis?
He certainly sees law and order his way and does not take a back seat to anybody. With that in mind, ladies and gentlemen, introducing the one, the only, Mr. T!
How about that? Mr. T on his way! Mr. T on his way to the ring! What an ovation! A standing ovation for Mr. T! Hey, take a look at that tricep. That's too shabby. Listen to Mr. T!
I wonder if Beefcake cuts T's hair. That looks like a Beefcake style job.
Heart Foundation, look at them turning their back on Mr. T. Danny Davis, whoa, look at this! And then Davis turns his back, too. I'll tell you what, I've seen T referee a couple of matches recently, and boy, he takes nothing from no one.
Well, he's a tough guy. I'm not going to deny that. I just question his ability as a referee. I question Jack Tunney for making him a troubleshooting referee.
Well, you questioned Jack Tunney when he barred Danny Davis for life.
That's right. That's right.
We had an occasion to chat with Danny Davis earlier on about his presence at ringside. Here's Mr. Davis's title.
The reason I'm in the corner of the High Foundation in the wrestling is because the referees around here stink. And I keep my eyes focused on that ring to see that those referees do things.
There you got your answer, why he's down there.
Come on, there you go, hit me.
Oh, my. Powers and Roma, an up-and-coming tag. Can't we do something about that megaphone Jimmy Hart has?
I like it. It adds to the play-by-play when you're not talking. I think from now on, I'm just going to call Jack Tunney Poindexter.
Oh, wait a minute.
and Roma coming into their own as a tag team combination. And the nice part about these youngsters is they'll take on the best. And they are doing just that.
Yeah, and they always smile when they get into the ring, but rarely do they smile when they're leaving the ring.
Can't you see how vastly improved Powers and Roma are on a week-to-week basis, though, Jesse?
Yes, but as you can see right here, they're still lacking. They're in the ring with the best in the world right there, the very best. Yeah. And you can see the difference right there.
That's true.
They're moving up the ladder. They're doing better. I see a progression out of them. Maybe if they found a Bobby Heenan, maybe if they found a Jimmy Hart to manage them, it would take them that much farther.
And maybe they haven't been around long enough to handle the tactics that perhaps the Hart Foundation is using.
Wow, did Bret Hart hit that turnbuckle?
Tag is made. Roma now in on Bret Hart. Roma setting up Bret Hart coming off the... Oh, my! Drop kick! Anvil looking for a place to hide. Pitman down to the canvas. Roma doing very well for himself. Off the rope. Look at that.
Whoa. He's got to go after Hart. Hart's the legal man.
Here. Moving in on the Hart. Roma hammering away. Trying to get Hart out of the corner, and indeed he does. And.
Oh, look at that brilliant move by the Hitman.
Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
He's on the rope.
I love
it. That's illegal.
That's illegal, but it's a win. There's no asterisk in the record book when it's over. It's still a win.
Here are your winners, the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions, the Hart Foundation.
I can't believe that they're going to let that stand. The Hart Foundation victorious. We saw what they did. The foot was on the rope there. Wait a minute.
What's this?
Wait a minute.
What is he sticking his nose in for?
Mr. T.
Who does this guy think he is? He's not assigned to this match. He's got no business in there sticking his nose in there.
They'd like to see some justice because he did see what happened.
We're going
to
get an announcement now.
Ladies and gentlemen, referee has reversed the decision.
What?
And awarded the back to Jim Powers and Paul Roma.
Look at that, Mr. T with Danny Davis. How about that?
I've seen it all now.
Well, Mr. T certainly making his presence felt here in the World Wrestling Federation. And what a feather in the cap of Powers and Roma in their non-title victory over the Hart Foundation, right?